So, I think this being the first video podcast, obviously a good way of getting clickbait, like really big on YouTube, is feed pics.
That's where the money's at,
Sort of money is
videos.
that? I feel like you take better care of your feet than I
If
do,
I,
so if you don't mind. No,
if
please don't.
I feel like if I was really broke, I would
Yeah,
do the feed
you do
pic thing,
feed
because
pics?
it's just easy money. Like,
That's
it really
true.
is. And like, you don't even have to have that good feet.
No, because
Like,
people
it's
that fetish
old
are
men that will
weird.
just they
Yeah,
sometimes they want
they
gross
want
feet.
gross ones. Yeah, totally. They want ones like would be a green on it,
I told my
like a
mate's
toe
got
jam.
he's got really like disgustingly small hairy feet. Like,
Ugh,
they
I
look like hairy pig's feet, right? That's how I describe it.
hate
And I said, like, there's a market for that. Like, that's a
100%.
niche. You could probably charge more
Yeah,
for your
definitely,
feet.
because yeah, it's specific. His feet have character, you could say. Oh, so gross. I actually got a scam email, or not a scam email, a scam like Instagram message. You always know it's gonna be a scam. You see like little requesting pop up on your messages. It said something like, "Hey there, handsome comedian. How would you like to get involved in the quick little money scheme? Send a few feet pics my way, £20 a pic."
No way.
£20 a pic.
Money first, then I'll do it, yeah.
I was always like half tempted. It's like the worst thing that could happen is they would be like, "We're gonna unleash these pictures." Like it's just pictures of my feet. You know what I
True, and
mean?
in
Not that
fairness, as a
embarrassing.
comedian, that's probably like quite
It's
funny.
kind of funny,
It's like,
yeah.
oh yeah, my feet got leaked. You know, like, oh no, my feet got
I
leaked.
know, yeah. If anything, it's just clout. Maybe I should have just done it. Yeah. Worst case scenario, I could have gotten the £20 or gotten a little bit more famous. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about.
We're back.
We're back, and it's the first ever video one, which is going to mean nothing to the people that are still just listening to the plain audio. But people have been requesting it for a long time. I've had a few friends that tell me they only watch video podcasts. I think
That's
those
mad.
people are insane, but
That
you
is
know,
mad.
to each their own, yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, like, it's nice to have the video up so you can just look over every once in a while,
Yeah.
but it is just people sitting
It's
there.
bizarre to me, but there's a trend happening. People enjoy it,
I
long
think
form
people would more be
content.
like, I don't, I it's hard to imagine any of you sitting there watching this whole thing,
Yeah, I'm sure they're probably
but
doing something in the background, looking
yeah, you
back at the
might
TV every
flip
now and
over.
again or something.
But
Yeah,
I've brought out my
maybe.
Ned Flanders jumper, special
Oh
for the first
shit,
episode, you
nice.
know?
Oh, I feel
So,
bad now. I should have worn like a Simpsons t-shirt or something. I'm wearing my
you just
plainest
wore
gray.
a hell.
I mean, there must be some character who wears something like this. Let's say I'm dressed like Homer, because I have the jeans on as well. It's kind of Homer vibes.
It's not at all.
It's more like Homer did if I put the black shoes on as well. Kind of Homery.
No, this is poor. This is a
I'm the
poor
image of
attempt.
Homer Simpson. I just wore a t-shirt because every time we do this podcast, I'll wear a sweater, and halfway in, I'm like, why am I wearing a sweater? It's all the talking and the body
It's
heat and the sexual
very,
tension, it
very
gets
warm in your
warm.
flat.
Yeah, well, this is so fucking cold outside at the moment. We want heat.
Also, tell them what happened with your notebook.
Is that really that
Oh my
funny?
god,
That's such a
you won't
little
believe
thing.
this. You won't believe this. Tell them what happened.
So I got a new notebook. Easons represent Irish company. But yeah, I was like trying to find where the notes for this episode started. Then I realized that it's a new notebook. So the page I was looking
The
for
first
was the
page.
first
He was
page.
right in front
Oh,
of him. Oh
so
my god.
quirky. This guy's
Oh
crazy.
god.
But yeah, really happy to be jumping into a whole new season. Got the video going. It's a new year. Lots of new shit going on. So it's almost overwhelming. I do like that we like ended up bookending it this year, that we finished season 34
It's
in
nice for the
December.
new year to start with a
New year, new season.
new
Yeah, it didn't
season.
work that way the last time, so it's just cool that it happened to work that way this time. I
Like, it
really
really
enjoy it.
feels like a new era.
Yeah, exactly. Super cool. But yeah, are we good to just jump into it?
Let's do it.
Yeah, so this is, as I just said, the first episode of the 35th season. I was about to say 34. The 35th season, and yeah, let's just jump right on in. They open up with a super cool, interesting animation. We're in like a little fantasy world. There's a warrior who is trying to find a place without trolls for once, and then a troll appears being like, "Your reign of muscly heroism ends here." And he jumps to his death, and a flying horse saves him, and he's just going like, "Soar high, my flying friend, for today we die another day." And the moment I saw him, I was like, "Oh, it's Otto." But then he started speaking, and it wasn't Otto's voice, and I was like, "Oh, it's not meant to be him." But then obviously we cut out, and he's like on the bus, all drugged out. So it was Otto. I found it weird that it wasn't his voice. It wasn't even Harry Shearer. Maybe he was being being like,
maybe he really is, yeah,
sick of doing that voice. Yeah. So it was like, for this bit, he's talking so much, get somebody else to do it, which makes sense. It's unfortunate because I think Otto has so much potential to do something interesting with him as a character that you couldn't do with other characters, but it does seem like Harry Shearer just doesn't want to do it. So even when he does become an important part of the episode, like in this one, his importance is that he's leaving. You know what I mean? Yeah, is that he's not there. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but look, maybe it could be a case eventually to get somebody else to voice him, I feel, because there's definitely people out there.
They have to be very, very good.
Oh, for you, but there's definitely people out there. There's people out there on YouTube, like, gunning to, like, replace the voice actors because they're all old. They're, like, you know, and there's some that are really good. Like, there's this one guy who, like, dubbed over a scene. Do you remember in, what was the episode again? The one that we didn't like that much from season 34 with Marge and Lisa and the...
Oh, yeah.
There, Mr. Burns had, like, a big monologue in that one. He, like, dubbed over that, him doing that same monologue, and it's perfect. It's
literally word for word.
Yeah. And the voice is perfect. Like, he could easily replace Mr. He could become the new Mr. Burns. Like, so good. I can't remember the guy's name, but you look it up. He's done a load of those dubs, and it's really, really good. But yeah, we got the Otto on the bus drugged up, and he's like,
dude, you shouldn't have let him eat that whole pan of acid brownies.
In my defense, I thought it'd be cool, and I was right.
Acid brownies, there's no way that could even taste good.
Acid brownies, that's intense.
Yeah, good God, they wouldn't even taste like brownies. The acid would obviously take over. Clearly, a drug aficionado right here. We then got to Springfield Elementary. There's a sign saying, tonight, emergency PTA meeting. We have a busing issue. It's not racial, we swear. We see Chalmers is addressing all the parents, saying that they will have to drive children to school, as Otto has disappeared with their bus and brownie pans. All the parents are immediately outraged, but Skinner says the fewer will have to drive if they arrange a carpool schedule, and then even more of them get outraged. You just hear one of them go, I'll kill you! Which I loved. So good. I always love the angry mob in Springfield. They're just, they're almost like their own character. They always like gang together and they have like the one emotion that they all agree on immediately. Like they're all like either really happy about something or really outraged.
And they do a similar thing in SpongeBob.
Oh, SpongeBob, true.
There's trampling. Always, there's always the guy that's like,
my leg. Yeah. So good. I was like to think about that last day. I wondered, does that voice actor actually do recordings of my leg again and again, or is it just the one? Because it sounds the exact same. It sounds the exact same every time.
My eyes! My eyes. What's it called? What's the name of that, you know, in like all the Star Wars films?
Oh, the Willem Scream? Yeah. It's like a version of that. Yeah, true. It's almost like a reference to it, I guess. Seems like it. But yeah, where are we? Yeah, they agree at having the kids just walk to school, but they say that they're going to need one parent volunteer to complete their team of crossing guards. Already on the team, we see that they have Gil, Mole Man, and Squeaky Voice Teen, which I love just that trio. You could definitely pick the most pathetic people they could possibly find. People that would be terrible at protecting children from traffic. Like, great trio. And then Homer jumps up and he's like, hell yeah, I've been waiting for this my whole life. I'm in. But we can only see the back of him. We can tell he obviously isn't actually reacting to being a crossing guard. He tells Marge he was watching the trailer for the Revenge of the Nerds reboot, and John Cena is playing Booger. And they put a satchel on Homer, and he immediately goes, no, stop, yield!
It makes so much sense that Homer would love Revenge of the Nerds.
It does, yeah,
100%. It's a little bit of a, like, Homer Goes to College.
Yeah, you didn't know that connection. Yeah,
there's definitely in Homer Goes to College a lot of, like...
A nod to it, yeah, because you literally have the three nerds in that episode, in that movie, yeah. So true, I didn't make that connection, yeah. Revenge of the Nerds is a total, like, cliche college movie that Homer would love, particularly the Homer in that episode. Just, like... Oh, the nerd is trying to get back at the bullies and, you know, trying to defeat the dean and stuff like that. It's like a classic college movie, yeah. Such a fun,
it's a great film.
Switch your brain off movie,
My dad introduced me to that film.
Oh, really? Yeah, so fun. Seth MacFarlane, I believe, is making a reboot of it, actually, in real life. Yeah. I'm not sure how involved he is, if he's just a producer, if he's writing it or what, but I know he's involved in a reboot of it, a remake, whatever you call it, yeah. But yeah, they put the satchel on Homer and he's like, no, stop, yield. And Gil's like, he's got the lingo down. Like, this guy's a natural. We then cut to the power plant the next day. Homer tells Lenny to never have children. And Lenny's like, oh, you don't have to worry about that. I was born with a... And the alarm goes off and cuts him off. And it's like, what was he about to say? So bizarre.
Yeah.
What a weird gag. It sounds like they were saying that he was a woman or something.
Yeah.
Such a weird gag. I'm gonna repress it. But yeah, the air goes up.
I love this bit because it's like
insane.
Everyone but Homer knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
really cool scene.
It's like they've set up a fake office for Homer, but like, then what does Homer do?
Yeah, yeah.
And why is Mr. Burns? Even Mr. Burns
him.
Knows what he's doing.
I know, yeah.
And so why is Homer on the payroll?
I agree. It was a very, very questionable scene. It was really cool to see them like actually doing power plant work. That was awesome. And like, yeah, like Mr. Burns actually being a good boss and everything and like delegating them. That was really cool to see. But yeah, it gets revealed in the scene that like Lenny has like all the responsibilities of safety inspector. And Homer's one just says, like, safety council, inverted commas. And, yeah, it's like they doesn't do anything. But, yeah, exactly. Why is he on the payroll? Why would you continue to pay this man if he doesn't do anything? Just, like, make him feel good? Like, Mr. Burns isn't a good guy.
Yeah, that's not something Mr. Burns would do.
Never! So. Yeah, it was very questionable, very weird. And, obviously, there'll be another episode where, like, that doesn't matter anymore. It was just, like, a little plot point for this episode. One of those things. But, yeah, it was very, very confusing and weird. Just, like, it doesn't do anything. But, yeah, they end up stopping the security breach. They're all, like, super relieved. But, yeah, then Homer's like, wait, do I actually keep anybody safe? And Carol's like, oh, yeah, of course you do, by not doing anything. But Lenny says that he wanted to take away the responsibilities from him since he already does so much, such as implementing jeans shorts Wednesdays. It's so good. Just wearing jean shorts, but like they're too tight for him.
Yeah.
Brilliant image. We then come to him in bed with Marge at night. He tells her that his council isn't even plugged in. It's just full of cleaning supplies and Mr. Burns' Funkos, which is brilliant. I'm sure they exist in real life. I love Mr. Burns' Funko.
Yeah, I've got a
friend, you do?
Friend who has the green alien version.
Oh yeah, I've seen those ones. They look awesome. I love that one. Obviously one of my favorite episodes. I love the really specific ones like that. Cool. They're like characters from one episode. Yeah, I would love the alien Mr. Burns. That'd be awesome. But Marge tells him that he matters to her, especially since this Wednesday night. And Homer's like, oh right, scheduled sex. They start making out and then Marge says that his lifesaver doesn't seem to want to schwoom. He's like, did you go Han Solo earlier tonight? Stupid.
I'm stealing these.
Really good, yeah. Stupid Star Wars reference, but I did like it. So silly. Did you go Han Solo earlier? He says he's going to stay in bed all day tomorrow and suck at his nightstand ketchup packets, which I love that he just has nightstand ketchup in his nightstand drawer. But Marge reminds him that he has to be up at 6 to be a crossing guard. We didn't cut to him. We cut to the kids, actually, on the way over to the crossing, the zebra crossing. And Milhouse is like,
maybe he just got tired of always running from the darkness.
Such a great line. Just a really dark, depressing line out of nowhere. And then right back into jokes. Homer is immediately like teasing him. He's like, oh, time to help the baby brigade cross the road. And he gets up. You see his ass is stuck to the lawn chair. And they all start laughing at him. He's like, I deserve your respect, you little jerks. He says that without him, they'd be stuck on one side of the street for the rest of their lives. They grab the stop sign and they start taunting him with it. I love Milhouse, like, throws a sign at him and he actually stops. Yeah. Like, he listens to it. So good. And we see Ralph going across the road. He's like, I'm a streetwalker. And we see Barney in the car driving. And he's like, hey, I'm late for my AA meeting. And there's a bottle that literally says it's labeled discount tequila appears. And he's like, oh, hi there, gorgeous. He grabs the bottle and nearly runs over Ralph. And Homer saves him. And Ralph just goes, my whole life is flashed through my pants. I just realized something there. Like, the whole thing in this episode is like that Homer feels really good for saving Ralph's life. But the only reason why he had to save his life is because he was being irresponsible in the first place and not paying attention to the zebra crossing.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's like his whole character arc here is just ridiculous because he feels so good for saving his life, but he wouldn't have had to have done that if he was just doing his job.
Yeah.
I never made that connection because he's got distracted by the kids taunting him. But yeah, the Martin gets one for the paper. Out of nowhere, he has like a little reporter hat on and like an old-fashioned camera and everything, getting one for the school paper. And Homer says that he finally feels a sense of purpose. He's like, Homer Simpson matters! And he like grabs Ralph and goes to throw him like a football. And all the kids are like, no, no, no! And he just like spins him around instead. Very fun. We then cut to Kent Brockman reporting that the last two existing pandas have passed away. They both killed each other in a very vicious murder-suicide. He just goes, so long, pandas. We'll see you at the crossroads.
On a for real though.
Yeah, yeah.
If the like pandas do truly go extinct, that would be a very sad day.
That'd be really, really sad. Yeah,
very sad day because pandas are really weird because it's like they should be scary.
Yeah, that's a good point. Not,
but they are actually really peaceful. They're peaceful. They're bears.
Yeah, yeah, that's, you know, very true.
You look at like grizzly bears and stuff, and they're terrifying.
Absolutely terrifying.
You,
yeah.
Pandas are just like this peaceful bear.
Uh-huh.
Just munches on bamboo.
Yeah.
I'm not a panda. I don't need to explain it, but it's just interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, very true. Yeah, they're like a very relaxed creature, but like obviously if one did go rampant, it would have
terrifying.
It would, yeah, it would kill you.
It's
just
kind
as
of
easily.
Like them killer whales.
Yeah,
they're cool,
yeah,
killer
true.
Whales, but they are kind
they're
of
peaceful
cute.
Creatures. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah, yeah. I've never heard of any instances of, like, a panda lashing out. And I'm sure it must have happened in history,
yeah.
But yeah, I've never heard of any
instances.
Only
if it's
yeah.
provoked, though, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah, probably. If you taunt it, it'll go
yeah.
for you. But yeah, it seems that its general sensibilities is that it's a relaxed creature, yeah. Then a little text pops up saying, giant pandas, 19 billion BC to 2023 AD. We then cut to him... he's having like a new segment on the show saying what's it called again, oh yeah, chicken soup for the news. He introduces the audience to crossing guards, a job most people consider as charming as it is pointless, which I completely agree with. I even felt that way as a kid, to be honest. I was like, can't you just install traffic lights? Why does somebody need to get up
yeah
in the morning just to, like, you know, I always thought it was such a thankless
well,
job.
It was, yeah, it was the ones at school, the lollipop man.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly, that's what it is, yeah.
And it was, but it's like, it almost, I feel like it's just a thing because it's part of...
the school, just to keep them a little
the
bit safer.
Isn't it, having a lollipop
yeah,
man. It's like,
yeah.
It's just, and he's always some, like, semi-retired guy.
Yeah, yeah, like, totally. It gives him some sense of purpose to, like... go to school, I guess they go to like 9 o'clock for when they're going to school and then come back when it's closing at like
yeah.
half 3 or something when they're going home. Yeah, I guess, yeah, it gives you some sense of purpose. That's a good point though. In the UK and Ireland we call it lollipop man, whereas in America they call it crossing guard. Crossing guard sounds way more important.
Sounds legit.
It sounds
yeah,
legit, yeah, whereas
lollipop.
We're kind of like saying it for what it is almost.
Yeah.
Like, you're a lollipop man. Yeah. Like, we appreciate you, but...
Yeah, you hold a stick that looks like a giant lollipop.
Yeah, yeah, it just says stop
man.
Or go. That's it, yeah. It's so true.
But I'm sure when they apply for the job, it doesn't say lollipop man wanted. It's like, it was...
It probably
does
say crossing guard, something more important like that. Yeah, totally. But they show Homer risking his life to save a pumpkin-headed little boy, is what Kent Brockman calls him. And Homer tells Brockman that they need new equipment, but keeping kids safe is its own reward. We then cut to Quimby watching it on the news, and great to have Quimby in, like, an important role in the episode. Haven't had him, like, in an important role in the episode in a really long time, so it was cool just to see him there. Because the mayor, I think, is always an interesting character in the show, because it's like, they are the ones running the town, so there's so much you can do with that concept, you know? Yeah, we see he's watching it on the news, and he says he's going to give them an actual budget, and not for self-serving political reasons, but because he's a man who wants to do good in the world. And a creepy guy in a robe turns up and is like,
Joseph, your turn on the sex chessboard. We can't very well play without our king, though the bishop may try.
And we see, yeah, they're literally just playing a game of chess, but, like, everyone's, like, half naked. Not sure how that would work, but looks like they're having a good time. Very sketchy. We didn't cut to the crossing guards in the school. They're all delighted to hear that they have new outfits and an actual salary. And then Gil just goes, first I get to be the timer of a chess-themed sex orgy, and now this. A great little immediate throwback that he worked for the sex
yeah.
orgy. So good. And they all nominate Homer as captain, which is obviously going to happen. We got to him going home, he tells the family about this, but Bart tells him that the only people who wear badges are power-hungry chumps who want to keep the little guy down. And Homer's like, Lisa's like, are you talking about the security guard at the supermarket? He's like, no, I wasn't trying to break the gumball machine, I just wanted to get out the purple. He tells him that he's been given a budget to hire 10 more guards and is only hiring the best and the brightest. And again, they just paid the best 10 people to be the best and the brightest guards. We have the sea captain, Cletus, Mike Wegman, the wise guy. Obviously, having the wise guy in the squeaky voice scene makes perfect sense because they work everywhere. Nelson's mom, so random. Barfly and Curly, who are the two guys in the bar who never speak. Kirk, Herman, who doesn't even have, only has one hand. And Disco Stew. Just, yeah, I couldn't think of a better 10 people to
pick. It was a good choice.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely spot on. And Homer's like just being really official, being like, now, all of you are not going to make it through training. Look to your left, look to your right, that concludes your training. And then Wiggum comes up and like thanks Homer for saving Ralph's life and says if he ever needs a parking ticket thrown out or someone else's DNA left somewhere, just to let him know. He then crosses the zebra crossing without asking Homer's permission. And Disco Shooter goes, crossing guard Stu thinks he's undermining you. And Homer turns up to Wiggum, like, again, just being like a very official, like acting like he's a police officer. He's like, do you know how Jay you're walking there, sir? And Wiggum's like, yeah, I don't know what that means. He's like, step out of the curb and keep your knees where I can see them. Or keep your feet where I can see them. And Wiggum's like, I can't even see them. Great gag. From his angle, his belly is blocking his entire legs.
It reminded me of like in a video game.
Yeah.
Like whenever
from
I
from a character's perspective.
Yeah, whenever I like play a first person video game, especially for the first time, I'll look down.
Yeah.
To see if they've implemented feet.
yeah. Just to see how much detail they put into the game.
Honestly, like, no offense to anyone, but like to me, I hope I don't end up not being able to see my feet.
Yeah, of course.
That's a motivation. Like, if you can't see your feet, then
pretty bad. Yeah, totally.
But jaywalking is a crazy thing because it obviously doesn't exist here.
Well, it doesn't exist here, Europe, but it's not illegal here.
It's not illegal. It's not a thing.
Yeah, it's totally.
Whereas it is actually illegal.
Properly
in the US,
illegal
right?
in America. Yeah,
yeah.
You just
apart
have
from,
to
like,
wait.
New York, because so many people jaywalk, it's not even like.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point in
I'm walking here. Yeah.
But, that's just mad to me.
It is bizarre. I was very conscious of it when I went to Florida. You literally just have to wait for the light to go green, and it's not as consistent as it is here, from my experience.
Because there are a lot longer crossings as well.
Yeah, exactly. They take time. You just have to wait. And like, I get so impatient because I'm so used to, in the UK and Ireland, just going as soon as there's no cars coming, and I'll just run.
When I was in Italy, like it was almost the opposite of jaywalking, because like you had to jaywalk because cars didn't stop at lights.
Yeah, same
you
in
literally had
Amsterdam.
To,
yeah, they will just go. They don't care. Yeah. I mean, that's reckless. Like, you need to have an in between. You know what I mean? The cars,
well,
especially.
Here it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we probably get people
even
who drive
London,
all the time.
Like passengers, like people walking. The public have the right to just like
the right of way. Yeah, people who drive all the time probably find pedestrians really annoying, I would imagine. But yeah, my attitude is like, if there's no cars like running, I have time to cross the road, I'm gonna just do it. You know what I mean? 100%. I'm too impatient. Like, yeah, I'm not gonna wait around. But yeah, it is fascinating. It's like properly illegal. I don't know what the. It's obviously a fine. You obviously don't go to jail or anything. But like, probably is like, I know there's strict shit like that in America. It probably is like a big fine. So you guys just be like conscious of it.
And
yeah.
if you don't pay it, you might go to prison.
Yeah, yeah, there's that too. Yeah,
you're in prison, and someone's like, "What are you in for? Jaywalking?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I killed five people. didn't pay the jaywalking fine. Just like so pathetic. Oh yeah, he lets Wiggum off with a warning, but he tells him that he runs these streets now. But he was like, "No, you don't. I do." Like, well, I run the parts between the curbs. He takes Wiggum's sunglasses and is like, I'm gonna keep these. Unless you got a problem with that. He just like lets him keep it. We didn't cut the Moe's. It's now called O'Crossigans, which is so dumb. It's like a cross between an Irish pub and like a pub just for crossing guards. O'Crossigans, but very funny. We see Kirk bring them a pitcher of beers and he's like, oh, here's the pitcher you asked for, guys. Oh no, he's like, squeaky voice scene. He's like, here's the pitcher you asked for, a squeaky voice. He's like, that's tea to you, rookie. He's like, oh, these new guys have no respect. It ain't like when we started off 3 weeks ago. And Skinner enters and Moe informs him that this is a crossing guards only bar now, and they don't even let Lenny and Carol in anymore. He's cut over Lenny and Carol.
Peeping through the window looking
peeping
sad.
In, yeah.
They're like children.
Yeah, so good. Just so upset, like their main pub, they're not allowed in. But he tells Homer that tomorrow will be a challenging day as it's science fair, bake sale, and school picture day. But Homer just like sends him off. He's like, oh, that's enough, Principal, what's his face? Like, no pedestrians allowed, and they like separating him away, and he's like, we need to get this thing in order, like, this could be a disaster. But Horch is like, no, it's gonna be fine.
I love how mad he's going with his
power. Oh yeah, it is such a classic Homer thing. It is, of it's like
hilarious.
Yeah, it's like a crossing guy, like,
he has just
a job.
Tiny little bit of power and he just goes crazy with
yeah
it.
And makes it his whole personality.
Yeah,
like, it is so Homer.
That's when Homer's at his best, when he like finds a niche and just makes it his whole personality.
Yeah, exactly. That's where he's thriving as a character. It's something so stupid as well, like, how could you make this job a big responsibility, but he just makes it everything. Like, he's just the most important person in the town.
Not to say that Family Guy copy, but
yeah,
that is obviously a very big Peter Griffin trait as well. The episodes will be, he discovers something that's now his whole personality.
Yeah, yeah. The thing Family Guy does more so, I feel, is it usually they will start off the episode with Peter doing something like that, but then,
and
it
then
would,
it's a different.
It yeah. would lead to the main plot then, yeah. It will always start off him doing something ridiculous, like he gets, you know, a disabled horse, and that becomes his whole personality, yeah. Is a horse who...
Well, one of my favourites is when he thinks he's a mafia boss because he becomes a kid's godfather.
Oh yeah, oh, so good. Yeah, he starts acting like Marlon Brando. Yeah. I love that stuff. Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, lots of shows probably are inspired by that Simpsons formula. Like, it's the most obvious with Family Guy, but, like, you know, Stan Smith has some Homer qualities to him. Bob from Bob's Burger definitely does, you know what I mean? They all have that quality to them. I think it's fine. It just shows how much of a cultural impact the show has had. That, like, you know, these shows, King of the Hill as well, like, none of them would exist without The Simpsons, you know? But they all have all done their own unique thing as well. Like, it's not purely... It's not a rip-off. It's just clearly inspired by, you know? But, yeah, we then cut to the school the next day. We see it's covered in traffic, and the Channel 6 News is reporting on it, calling it the drop-off apocalypse now.
It's pandemonium, folks. This is Honey Pie reporting live. High above an elementary school traffic jam turned all-out scholastic fracas. Surely this town's handsomely paid crossing guards can bring order to this Monday morning mayhem.
Oh, guys, stop it!
And Martin tells him that the shaking of his car is close to mixing the hydrogen peroxide yeast and dish soap within. And Homer's like, whoa, what does that do? We see it all just goes together and it creates a substance called elephant toothpaste.
Did you ever do this?
Explodes all over the town. No, is that a real thing, elephant toothpaste?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It's an actual thing. I was wondering, because I didn't do it at school, but I know a lot of people did.
Right, right. I want to now. It looks like an interesting substance, yeah. But no, never anything cool like that, unfortunately.
Yeah. And it literally is elephant's toothpaste. That's how they make it.
Oh, right. They actually...
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure they actually use it.
They actually brush elephant's teeth, right? That's bad. I wouldn't have thought they even brush elephants' teeth.
Yeah.
So, oh, there you go. Learn something new every day. But yeah, see,
they brush. I know for sure they brush hippos' teeth a lot.
They brush
hippos'
teeth. Fascinating. That's wild. Okay.
Hippos have ginormous teeth.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess if you're in a zoo where you want your animals to look good, and hippos are showing off their teeth a lot,
yeah.
I guess you want to keep it clean.
I love a good hippo. Hippos are very underrated.
Quiet sentence. Yeah, yeah, no, they're adorable. Yeah, I'd love a pet hippo. We should adopt a hippo.
We should do it.
You and me. Like, that would be like a grand a week,
imagine
I would say.
A hippo in here.
Just like stuck in my room. I'd be like, this was a mistake. Oh my god.
It's so annoying. It shits everywhere.
It keeps sitting on top of me. I'm getting evicted, obviously, because I can't have a hippo in my house. You never know. That'd be a fun, like a buddy movie. Just two guys just adopting a hippo. That'd be really...
With any big, oversized animal.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That'd be so funny. Just, like, them adopting a hippo. It's like Marley and Me, I guess, but with a hippo. Yeah. You know?
This is a great idea.
That'd be really fun, yeah. It's like a fun in games, a stupid comedy.
Copyright.
But yeah, copyright there. Yeah, trademark it. Yeah, like a Step Brothers tone movie, but it's two guys adopting a hippo for some reason. I would love that. Yeah, we cut to him in the town hall. He's like testifying in front of the council. He's blaming the incident on their inadequate budget. He says that they need it for training, equipment, and overtime, so children can cross the street at 3 a.m. if they want to. And Sideshow Mel, always being like the voice of the people, just goes, throwing money at a deeply flawed institution is bound to work. He says that guys like him are the only defense between their school kids and guys like him who text when they drive. And then Quimby just goes, all in favor of putting 180 on this issue and giving the crossing guards a blank check. And again, just the mob always like being unanimous in one emotion. Just all cheer. We cut to them It's cut to Quimby giving Homer an enormous check, and they're all like carrying Homer. And the checkbook just says, "Whatever you want, dollars." And Homer's like, "Maybe I should ask for more, just in case." And he just immediately gives them and just says, "More, just in case, dollars."
That felt very like Naked Gun.
Yeah, like, true. He's a really like, dumb a really... guy. Yeah.
Which, to be fair, like great. A lot of, I would say, a lot of the old Conan episodes were very Naked Gun esque. You know?
Yeah, definitely Naked Gun and Airplane inspired. Yeah, the Zucker Brothers like tone of humor. It's just like the dumbest gags.
Yeah,
and that's
but
it.
But it's like actually kind of smart.
Oh, 100%. Like, yeah, you can tell they put the work in to make these stupid gags as stupid as possible, but like in a really clever way. Yeah, you know, like you can tell they didn't just like half-pass.
That's what makes it so unique.
Totally, and it is just like. All those movies are, well, like an hour and a half long, but, like, it's joke, 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 joke. You probably get, like, at least 5 jokes a minute.
I know,
you know?
Crazy.
Oh, my God. Naked Gun is master. One of my favorite movies ever. Mm. Just, like, a masterful film. So, so funny. But, yeah, we then cut to them at dinner. They're at, like, a nice fancy restaurant, and Marge calls Homer a hero on the streets and in the sheets. So, obviously, we can see that he's, like, doing well in the bedroom again, basically.
That sounds like something, like... That sounds like a mug you would buy if your partner was a police officer.
Oh my God, so true, yeah.
Or like a gag t-shirt you'd buy them.
Yeah, yeah, a hero on the streets and in the sheets. But he would never wear it. He'd wear it like to bed or something. He would never wear it like to a pub or anything.
And you'd take it out, like, if it was a mug, it would probably be the one you take out.
When the friends call over. No, yeah,
at
yeah.
Christmas after a few, you know, shandies.
And... Yeah, yeah, you're moving over to Irish coffee and then you'll use that mug.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you have this hilarious mug. So true. They're always the most just like simplest jokes like that.
Yeah, you showed us this last year and the year before.
Yeah, yeah, we remember. Or like World Greatest Dad mug or something. Like, hey! So dumb. But yeah, and we see that they're both wearing the like cringy sunglasses now, Marge and Homer. And Homer's like, "I'm glad we kept the sunglasses on last night. I couldn't see a thing." And then Bart calls him a crossing god. And he's just like, "I thought you said people with badges are lame." And Marge just goes, "Like anyone who comes into a ton of cash, I flip-flop onto the side of authority." And then a waitress arrives with the bill. And Homer's like,
"Oh, you're charging me, Francine? Even though I keep your kids safe every morning? Aiden? Charlotte? Nearsighted Nicholas?"
"Oh, I'm sorry. It's on the house. Thank you for your service, hero." I don't even have kids, but this guy scares me.
I love that, because that means he just made up those names. Yeah. Just made them up. She's not even a mother. It's so good. Then Lisa worries that his massive increase in money and power is subtly corrupting him. And Homer's just like, "Oh, honey, relax. There's nothing subtle about it." Which is so true. Homer's never subtle.
No.
There's nothing subtle about that character whatsoever. Like, he wears his emotions on his sleeve. We then cut to, it's like a parody of the CSI opening. I thought this was fantastic. We just like see all the gear they now have. We see that he's like scuba diving out of the sewer. So dumb. We see Kirk's investigating tire tracks with like a magnifying glass. Shows a random clip of Homer chasing Reverend Lovejoy out of the church.
Oh, yeah.
So random. That was just like throw you out. It's like, what? That has nothing to do with anything. It's a funny little clip. Oh, yeah. She was like holding a stop sign, but he's like using like it's a gun. Like he's like shooting the stop sign at people. And the last clip is just like Homer pinning Milhouse to a wall, which again is like perfect character. So good. We then cut to Homer in like a crossing guard car now. So clearly just the budget they've been given is gigantic. It just goes so far. And he has like a radio. He's reporting that he's spotted some
Oh, we missed one of the clips, which was just drove the car into the gas station.
Oh shit, yeah.
He's just destroying the city.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, they're getting a massive budget and they're all just like tearing the economy of this town apart. Because you're crossing guards. So stupid. But yeah, Homer reports a bunch of SJWs, suspected jaywalkers, and we just hear Mole Man going, "Gun safety and body cam off." And we just hear gunshots. So weird, he just killed people. Such a strange detail, I loved it. We then cut to Quimby and Wiggum, and Quimby says that he's upped his eyeballs and angry emails and 9-figure lawsuits, and Quimby says that they could decrease their budget a bit. And you know, I just love seeing them together again. It was a big thing in the earlier seasons. I mean, you even see it in the Seb's classics coming up. I know you hate when I say the
Coming up
name
next.
coming up next. I know
After
you
this
hate it
break.
when I say it. I know you hate it when I said the name of the episode
Yeah.
coming
I'll
up
keep
and.
it vague.
But yeah, it was always a thing that, like, you know, Quimby and Wiggum were always at odds with each other. I haven't seen that in years, so it was cool to see that here again. But yeah, Wiggum says that they could decrease the budget. Homer just pops up being like, "You mean defund us?" He says their department does not have that much money. And Wiggum's like, "How did you know what we were talking about?" Like, "Oh, surveillance satellite." Wiggum's like, "Ah, we wanted one of those." He says that they have no choice but to trim the budget by 1.5%. And Homer's absolutely outraged. And he tells him that they're about to learn that crossing guards are uncrossable. We then cut to a commercial made by Homer. Fantastic. Of two kids about to cross the street. There's no crossing guards there. And they're like, "Oh, where's that nice man who helped us cross?" And the girl just goes, "I hear he lost his funding. Let's just cross by ourselves." And a car just like comes skidding at them, and they pause, and Homer just goes, "Welcome to a Springfield rule by Mary Quimby. Population, two less kids." It's just a fake photo of him, Quimby, eating pizza with Wiggum, Satan, and the Hamburglar. Which is just like a perfect force of like people Homer would consider evil. Particularly the Hamburglar, the old McDonald's mascot who stole hamburgers. Such a perfect choice.
Of course that would be to Homer a villain.
You're like the ultimate like bad guy, like just as bad as Satan.
Yeah. No,
the Hamburglar.
That ad reminds me of these really dark, depressing kid ads back in the day. I don't know if you remember them, but they'd be on like kids' channels, but it would be like black and white animated 3D, and a kid would be watching himself alive, like, trying to get a ball that he kicked in the road by accident.
I
like,
have.
Don't do that, and it's like so
like watching himself from the past right before he gets hit by a car.
Oh my god,
it'd be like for drinking and driving, or just like use the say cross code is what it was. Those say cross code ads are so freaking dark.
Wow. Like honestly,
they wouldn't make those today.
Safe cross code. Look up these ads if you haven't seen them. They
super dark.
On like in the day on kids' TV.
Yeah, like in the middle of like SpongeBob.
I'd be watching SpongeBob and then go from fucking, you know, Mr. Krabs and Plankton having a fight to this like depressing ad where a kid's dead,
I
watching
know.
Himself die.
I know, yeah. They made such dark ads. You'd also have like the ones of like the kids in Africa and stuff too.
Yeah.
Like it would play like in the middle of Rugrats. I'm like, good God.
Are you alone this Christmas?
Yeah, I think there's no way those ads are playing anymore, I feel, because everything's just so like, what's the word? Just like,
safe.
You know, yeah, safe, and like we don't want to scare kids anymore, show them content that might be harmful. So if, like, I haven't watched network TV in years. Definitely not kids' network TV, like Nickelodeon or anything, but I feel like they're definitely not showing ads as dark as that anymore. It's just like ads for toys now and whatever. Yeah, like, they are good, like, because they're informative, but I do remember being terrified by them, but at the same time, absolutely insane. But yeah, we then cut to another image, again, one made by Homer, of Quimby accepting a bribe from Kim Jong-un, just like things just to make him look so horrible. And another one is him opening a cell labeled drunk drivers. And the last one is him hitting kids with a car. It's like a picture. His face is put over the guy actually driving the car. But it's the kids in the commercial. So I'm assuming Homer actually just hit those kids with a car to make that picture.
My God.
I'm guessing that's what the joke was.
Yeah, that's messed up.
There's some really subtle dark jokes in this episode.
Yeah.
Like the one of like my old man shooting the people crossing the road and everything. They're like really low key, but like when you read into them, because I watch this episode twice, like I always do, I'll spot that being like, wait, so is that just Homer hitting those kids? Oh, I love it. So dark. But yeah, Homer says that Quimby is bad for Springfield and even worse for America. Paid for by the money we got from Quimby. Really good. And then Quimby immediately tells Wiggum to shut him down, and Quimby's like, "Oh, with pleasure." And we then cut to Homer like watching the video in the kitchen. He tells Marge that he got 1 million likes, and Marge reads the comments and is like, Homer's like, "Look at all these supportive comments," and Marge reads them and it's like, "Murder Quimby, dismember Quimby, go back in time and kill baby Quimby." And Homer's like, "Ah, the internet, the marketplace of ideas." We then cut to a chair, like a lawn chair, like the ones that he was sitting on, being thrown through the window. He's like, oh, that chair was my best friend on the force. We didn't see that it was obviously Wiggum who threw it. And he's like, mess with the pig, you get the snout. And Homer's like, this is a chair too far, Quimby.
And I also reminded that me rivalry. That his nose
is pig-like. Like a pig nose. Yeah, yeah, you don't notice that.
I always did.
Yes,
just,
sir.
It just reminded me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, very intentional. Like, the pun is obviously there as well. Like, Chiggum, Wiggum, Piggum, you know, obviously. I found out recently from listening to the commentaries, is I think it was his mom's maiden name, like Matt Groening's mom's maiden name, something like that, is actually Wiggum. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, Wiggum actually runs in the family, yeah. They must hate that, like, that's the character he chose to be their surname, because he's, like, one of the most pathetic people in the whole show. More pathetic than Homer sometimes, very often. And the fact that he's a police officer makes it so much worse, because, like, he's such an idiot. He, like, has such a gigantic responsibility.
I know.
So good. Yeah, he says to Wiggum that they have to have a duel in the most dangerous place in town. And Wiggum's like, that brunch place that's been poisoning everyone for attention? Which again, it's like such a dark gag. But I loved it. But then Homer's like, no, the six-way intersection. Which of course is what, as a crossing guard, he would consider the most dangerous place in town. We didn't go to the next day. The cops turn up. They're like approaching the crossing guards. And Homer's like, well, well, I thought cops only showed up after something bad happened. And Wiggum's like, oh, we're sick of your corrupt, unaccountable, hypersensitive malarkey. That's our thing. And the ICE shows up, which I had to look up because they didn't explain what it was. It's like Border Patrol in America.
Okay.
The ICE, yeah. I heard it stood for now. It's like International Cartel Enforcement is what it was. Yeah, they show up as well, be like, oh no, they're actually the most important guards in America. And the TSA shows up, they're like, oh no, we keep the country safe one confiscated shampoo bottle at a time. And the parking enforcement show up, and they're like, oh no, think again, shoe sniffers. And the boomer neighborhood watch guys show up, and like, no, we're the most important people in town. And he like swings his gun and actually shoots one of his people, falls to the ground. And Homer's like,
you all think you keep America safe? How? By hassling grandmas and wrecking quinceañeras? By grazing my junk with your wand? Or arresting bank robbers who rob banks?
The cops all look really ashamed by that. Like an actually really important part of their job. And he says that he's earned the right to feel godlike because he's actually saved someone's life. Again, it's lovely he's wearing the fucking him saving Ralph on his sleeve.
Yeah.
Like it's the most important thing that's ever happened. And these lifeguards show up and they're like, we save lives every day, bruh. I was like, shut up, lifeguards. This is a land argument. He says that when you cross a crossing guard, you better look both ways. And then Otto hits him with the bus. Great way to wrap up the episode.
Yeah, where it began.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. A rare thing that happens, but it's a nice way to like just bring it all together. And yeah, he comes out the bus and he's like, hey, everybody, I'm back. Oh, am I going to go to jail now? He was just like, I wouldn't dream of it. It's great, just like him being corrupt as always. Of course, he wouldn't jail Otto because now all the conflict is over thanks to him. Like, he just wanted to get rid of Homer so badly. We then cut to Homer in the hospital with the family, and Lisa tells him that absolute power, and Homer just cuts her off like, is the best kind of power there is? Mary's like, does bad things to society and strange things to me? And she's like, no. Absolute power, the way it works is if you see the whole world as a hammer, or no, if you see yourself as a hammer, then everything starts to look like nails. And then Bart just burps on her. Just, you know, classic Bart being Bart. And they all start arguing. Well, like, Bart, Lisa, and Marge start arguing, and Homer's just looking at this and seeing them all as nails, and he turns into a hammer. With a great little visual to close out the episode, and that great song that I like a lot called If I Had a Hammer starts playing.
Nice song.
Yeah, really nice song, yeah, to close out the episode. And yeah, pretty fun beginning to the 31st season.
Great way to start.
Yeah,
track.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shall I go first?
Yes, yeah, as always, please.
No, so, yeah, overall, it's a lovely, short, sweet, and classic-feeling episode.
Totally.
To start the season.
Yeah.
Certainly doesn't push any boundaries.
No.
Or do anything different,
mm.
But I'm okay with that.
Me neither.
It got me...
Me
back,
as well, I mean.
It got me back into the Simpsons mood. Witty and silly jokes, and it was awesome, and it was just a classic Homer story. And honestly, like, this is just a great episode, and it's a perfect way to get back into the Simpsons, having this contained town episode.
Yeah, totally. All the characters, classic Springfield,
we know and love.
Yeah,
a classic Homer episode. It was just really like witty, silly, funny jokes.
Totally.
I loved it, and
very fun.
I did give it a 7.5 out of 10, but now we're talking about it.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
I'm actually going to go up to an 8.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I guess sometimes it happens that just like when you dissect the episode, you can kind of see how cleverly written it was a bit more clearly than like just watching it, you know? Which isn't a bad thing, it's just that obviously from what we do end up really into the episode more intensely than a regular human being would, obviously. You know what I mean? So I had the same thing, actually. Gave 7.5 also, but just from having, there's no like bad gag in the episode, you know. There's no joke that kind of fell flat for me. Everything is pretty solid. I'm not saying everything made me laugh out loud, but like everything made me smile.
Yeah.
You know, really fun episode. But I pretty much said exactly what you said. Yeah, I totally agree. I said it was a fun opening to the 35th season. Just a fun classic Simpsons feel to open it. Like you said, like you really feel like the whole town gets involved here, which is always a fun way to utilize it. Even though if like it's grounded in like Homer as the main character, but you have like the dynamic of all of Springfield getting involved and having a say in such a small thing.
They
like
managed
a crossing
to get
garage.
All the characters involved. Like,
Gigantic ensemble, like loads of characters have fun little lines throughout. Like even just have like quick little one-liners from like Chalmers had a fun bit, Sergio Mel had a fun little bit, Milhouse, Kurt. Like so many people. Yeah, I agree. I said it. It's definitely unsubstantial. It doesn't do anything special, but it had great gags throughout. I loved Homer's obsession with being a crossing guard. Like you said, just him making that his whole personality. I said I loved seeing the Quimby and Wingham and Wiggum dynamic coming back. I just thought their back and forth was so fun. I'd liked seeing, again, that gave that classic feel of having Mary Quimby be an important part of the episode. I said it was very, very fun. Yeah, totally nothing exceptional, but like an episode you would put on at any mood and just laugh and have fun. 100%. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because I love the darker, more intense and like kind of more challenging episodes like Tixley and Afraid, or like even the last episode we reviewed, Homer's Adventure Through the Windshield Glass. But that's not one that you would like put on to switch your brain off.
No.
You know what I mean?
This is a good like
classic
before bed episode.
Exactly, yeah. Just like switch your brain off, silly jokes, have a laugh, go to sleep. That kind of quality to it for sure. This is a really solid, fun start to the 35th season. Let us jump into the news.
Dylan Simpson's news.
We could potentially get a whole new audience with this video thing. So just to introduce my segments, just in case, is every week I just cover some pieces of news. It's kind of like my way of like looking towards the Simpsons future, because I think so many Simpsons podcasts, as much as I love them, do kind of dwell on Simpsons past. So this segment is kind of like look towards like kind of new things that are happening in the world of the Simpsons. Only one piece of news this week, unfortunately. Obviously they had a Christmas break and everything, so not too many updates, but a very, very awesome piece of news that made me very happy is that Treehouse of Horror 33 won the Emmy for Best Animated Program.
Lovely stuff.
Oh, so happy about that. Absolutely deserved it. The show's first time winning an Emmy since the 30th season, so it's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I mean, no other episode in recent years deserves it more than that episode, in my opinion.
Amazing.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
You look at like, the award is Best Animated Program, so I feel like there's a lot of things you have to put into account there. So you're talking about the quality of the animation, the writing, the voice acting. Obviously, all those things get considered. And Treehouse of Horror 33 has all of that in abundance.
It does,
you know,
yeah.
Especially like, the animation. Like, you have the Death Note segment, which is beautifully animated. Homer World, like, obviously not as experimental as the Death Note one, but still, like, challenging different animation there and just done so beautifully. So yeah, so deserving. So yeah, awesome fun little piece of news there. Let us jump into Seb's classics.
So, you know, as it's
starting off on a classic,
like
classic
you were
episode,
saying,
yeah,
because it's a new season and because we might have new viewers, I want to do a classic. So I went for Marge versus the Monorail. Season 4, episode 10, I believe. And
nice.
It's I mean, I'm not gonna go through the story because everyone knows this episode.
We all know it.
And
yeah.
If you haven't watched it, pause the podcast, watch it, and come back.
I'm sure you have.
If you're
watching or listening to a Simpsons podcast,
you must have seen it.
It wouldn't be in my top 10 favorite episodes ever, but like if you were talking about like the top 10 most iconic episodes, this has
to
be
the
there.
Most important take from this episode is it's iconic.
It's iconic,
and like you don't have to think it's one of your favorite episodes, but anyone would appreciate
that you can acknowledge it's iconic. Fantastic.
So I'm more going to break it down in terms of what I think of the episode.
Sure.
And what I take from the episode.
Yeah.
So there's nothing not to like about this
there
episode.
There really isn't.
It delivers us iconic Simpsons jokes that we still talk about decades later.
Yeah. I call the big one Bitey. Yeah. One of Matt Groening's favorite jokes of the whole show. He loves that. It's so stupid. It's so there's silly. Possums in the little safety area of the monorail, and Marge's like terrified by it, and Homer loves them. It's great fun little bit, yeah.
It's even referenced in the show itself, which volumes to how iconic the episode is.
Of course, they throw them back to it.
Whatever mood you're in, you can watch this episode. It has unlimited replay value.
Oh, totally. Because it goes so fast. I've seen this episode, I would say, at least 10 times, and I'll watch it again, and there's jokes that I missed the last time. You know what I mean? Like, one I caught this time was when she first meets the scientist from North Haverbrook, who, experienced the monorail disaster already. He's like, oh, that guy, Lyle Lanley, he cut corners everywhere, you know, like, the tracking was bad, the monorail was poorly manufactured, and our celebrity on board was Gallagher. Gallagher, like, probably didn't get that reference. Gallagher was like a comedian who died recently. He was kind of washed up towards the end of his career. But, like, a big part of his act was like that he brought a watermelon on stage and just like broke it with a mallet.
Right.
That was like his big thing. But, like, he toured America and probably other parts of the world just with that act. People just like liked watching breaking a watermelon.
Interesting.
So ridiculous. Like, that was like the celebrity he had on the monorail. That was a funny guy that I literally only caught this time. Yeah, do go on.
In my opinion, this is one of the most important Homer episodes, as it cements the character that he is for seasons to come.
This
is one of the staple episodes that really, like, just was like, this is now Homer.
True.
And this just sort of one of the episodes that laid out the, you know,
what
to say. But
that's a very good point.
For seasons to come, this is what Homer became.
Very good, very true, yeah.
I obviously love all the silly Mr. Burns.
Oh, brilliant. I totally forgot about that, because I guess it's been a few years since I'd seen it. I forgot that the whole reason why the whole monorail thing happened was because he was putting toxic waste into the trees.
Yeah.
Just like getting rid of toxic waste, and they were going to arrest him, so instead he just like pays them off $3 million.
Yeah, you forget, and you assume that it's just a sort of throwaway gag.
Yeah, but no, it's actually what ends up creating the plot of the episode. And yeah, I mean, one of the best gags of the episode for me has to be when they're like trying to decide what to do with the money, and Mr. Burns is wearing a fake mustache. He's like, hello, I'm Mr. Shrub. I think we should put the money back into the power plants. So they're just like, I agree with this, Mr. Shrub. And they all look at him really angry, and he's like, gets like one of those like Mission Impossible like bazookas, throws at the very top of the tower, and just like him and Spears escape off, and you don't see him for the rest of the episode. It's run away. Such a great gag.
Man.
I was only saying the last day to somebody who came to a comedy gig with me that how funny would it be if I like went up on stage, and this is totally inspired by Mr. Shrub, if I went up on stage as myself, did my own set, and then they were like, and now for our next comedian, Nalin Shura, which is my name backwards.
Oh, okay.
And it's just like me with a fake mustache doing like a slightly different
set.
Wouldn't that be really funny?
You know what you should do is get someone to hold up like a big blanket and then quickly put a mustache on and glasses, and then they'll lift away the blanket.
But that's it. It's just the sunglasses and the glasses and the fake mustache. I have a beard, so it's obviously not my mustache.
Well, if you can, if they have machines, maybe get some smoke machines.
That'd be brilliant. That'd be so funny. Like, it's just an amazing comedian. It's just me again with a mustache.
I reckon more time on stage. If you were emceeing and also doing it.
Yeah, so I had control over the night. Yeah, I could definitely do that. I think I will do that eventually. It's such a fun thing to do. Yeah, just like confuse the audience. Yeah.
Last thing I'll say about the episode is Mr. Lanley is also one of those first of its kind characters where the show would continue to use that formula in the future.
Yeah.
So many times in the future, like at least once every few seasons, we'd have an episode starting with one of these sort of con men, and you know,
someone like that, someone who's either screwing over the family or screwing over the whole town, who's obviously brilliantly voiced by Phil Hartman. We can't not address him, who also voiced Troy McClure, Hank Scorpio, Lionel Hutz, like so many iconic characters. It's crazy because his voice is the same.
It's almost the same. Yeah.
Pretty much the exact same, but he's such a good actor that, like, it fits into these different characters absolutely perfectly. Like, Hank Scorpio and Lyle Lanley are nothing alike. even though they sound similar, but he's so versatile despite the limits of his voice that, like, you don't even question it.
You don't.
Perfect in the part, yeah.
But yeah, it's a 10 out of 10. It's just
it can't not be a 10 out of 10.
Iconic.
Yeah.
It's the formula that, you know, they use for years to come. It's just amazing.
It's a perfect episode. I have no faults to it. Like, it's iconic for a reason. Like, there are some iconic Simpsons episodes I think are, like, a little bit overrated. I don't feel that way about Measures of the Modern Rail. It's, I don't fault it being so, like, put on a pedestal. I think it totally deserves it. We also should mention Leonard Nimoy. I think that's such a fun little part in the episode. Yeah. I love the bit. Yeah, he's like the celebrity guest on the monorail. I love when he's just like leaning over to some guy at the bar who clearly wants to be left alone. And he's like, oh, we didn't actually... The revolving doors in Star Trek weren't electrical. We just had two stagehands who like heard us coming and then pulled the doors open. He's just like leading into them smiling. And the guy's like, okay, yeah, cool. Clearly wants to be left alone. And then the final bit is just like... Like, you know, Homer stops the monorail from going haywire, and Leonard Nimoy comes out, and he's like, I saved the day once again. And Barney's like, what are you talking about? You didn't do anything. Like, didn't I? He just, like, vanishes away. It's so stupid. I mean, we also can't not mention this episode was written by Gordon O'Brien, who only did 3 episodes, but was also, like, a big writer on
the 3 of the best episodes. Come on.
Iconic episode. I mean, most people would say... Marriage of the Monorail is their favourite Conan episode. Obviously for me it's Homer Goes to College.
Well, I would go the same.
Yeah. Homer Goes to College, yeah. But Marriage of the Monorail, I don't judge anybody who says that. Yeah, just you can just tell he's a fantastic, just such a good writer. Any joke, any room for a joke, he will squeeze it in. Like, just worked so goddamn hard.
And they were saying that, like, in the studio and the writer's room and stuff, like, he lived and breathed comedy. Like,
yeah.
He literally, it's like the whole... 24/7 whenever he'd be there, it's like everything would be something to make a joke out of, or you know what I mean? But he's so smart with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can tell he wouldn't be annoying.
No, like, yeah. With the jokes, pleasure
like
to work
it was
with.
Always fresh and different.
Yeah, and he wouldn't be pretentious about the jokes either. Or, like, he just cared about the best gag, whether it was him who came up with it or somebody else, you know. And you can tell from just watching his show too. Like, I mean, that's why he went on to be a talk show. So he's just such an entertaining guy. Yeah. You know, like Conan isn't an amazing interviewer. Like, he's fine. He's not an amazing interviewer. That's not why he got a talk show. He got a talk show because he's just a great personality. Like, you wanted to tune in and watch him every night. Like, you know, I love Conan O'Brien so much. One of my biggest inspirations ever. He'll be a huge... I mean, he's not that old, so thankfully he won't go anytime soon, but he'll be a huge loss
to we have to think about how young he comedy. Was as well when he wrote this.
Yeah, crazy. I think, like, late 20s or something. He got the talk show when he was 30. So, I guess he would have been maybe 27, 28 when this came out. Like, super young, yeah. So good for him. It's such a perfect episode that's still... You know, so iconic to this day. Like, another gag I love, I mean, this classic Homer is he's trying to figure out how to stop the monorail. I need to find some sort of anchor. He looks at Bart and just imagines him as an anchor. And Bart's like, think harder, Homer. Such a great gag. And then, like, yeah, just like such like cliched, like over the top Simpsons is like he uses the M from the monorail as an anchor. And we cut to the hospital, and Dr. Hibbert's talking to two Siamese twins and is like, oh, well, obviously, the process of removing, cutting Siamese twins in half is very long-winded, very expensive, and takes a long time. And just the M cuts the boat in half. Like, oh, okay. It's so dumb, it's so great. And we cut to the anchor shop, and the sea captain's running it, and he's like, "Gar, you call that an anchor?" Conan O'Brien created the sea captain, so that's probably why he threw him in there.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, that's his character. That's all. He can always claim that. He created the character of the sea captain. Great little detail. But, I could keep going about all the great gags in this episode. I love the bit as well, the Flintstones bit at the beginning.
Oh, of
he's
course.
About to hit a chestnut tree.
It makes
tree.
You so happy.
Ah, oh, so fun, yeah. He hits the tree. That was my favorite gag when I was younger watching the episode. It's just like an immediate silly gag, you know. Just hits the tree, so stupid. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful episode. I have no faults in it. It's just perfect. Yeah, just perfect. Yeah, moving on to my new segment.
Ooh,
what's it gonna be?
I don't know this.
Yeah. Yeah, for people who don't know, the segment After Steps Classics, I've been kind of changing around a lot. It's kind of like my more like flimsy, like experimental segment. And this is what I've been thinking about doing for a while, so I decided to just freaking do it. I call this segment Starting From the Top. Basically, I have not seen most of the Tracy Ullman Show shorts. I haven't seen most of them. I've been to watch them for a while, so I'm using this segment as an excuse to just finally watch them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cover each short over the course of this segment, basically. There's more than I thought. There's 48.
Wow.
Okay. So I might get to a point, because they are super short, I might get to a point where I cover two in one, maybe, but for now I'm just going to do one. So this one is the first ever Simpsons piece of media ever. It's called Good Night. You can find it on YouTube.
I have seen this. Yeah.
Yeah, you would have. Yeah, it's in the Simpsons 138 episode Spectacular as well. It's only 2.5 minutes long. You can find it on YouTube. It's called Good Night, and it is just like, you can see the idea of the Simpsons starting, but it's so different to what we will know it to become. The characters are drawn so much cruder.
I mean, it's creepy.
It's creepy, honest. Yeah. It's very crude. It's almost like Tim Burton-esque. They're so different. Their faces are way bigger. I mean, Homer's voice is like, in all time, like the Walter Matthau impression, nothing like what it'll go on to become. Yeah, he talks like this, and he's even slower than he is in season one. But there's one bit where he laughs that I found interesting. His Bart goes like, you know, what is the mind? And Homer's like, oh, Bart, what is the mind? It doesn't matter. What does it matter? Never mind. But then he laughs, he goes, and that sounds like the classic Homer. So it's really, you do get like a little hint of this.
It's interesting because you do like season one Homer and Tracy Ullman Homer, the impression better than you do actual Homer.
Oh, really? Actually, yeah. No, that's upsetting. If I ever got to take over the voice, I'll just go back to the old school one. No, of course not. But yeah, I guess it's just easier because he talks really slowly. Whereas Homer from the show talks like this, he's all like crazy in it. Yeah, I guess so. We then, what I think is the best bit of this short, it's fun, like, experimental animation. And again, actually, quite Tim Burton-esque, now I think about it. It is dark and creepy. I guess it makes sense of having read Matt Groening's comic book, Life in Hell. I think that is, like, more what he was interested in as a cartoonist. It's, like, kind of, like, dark humor. Obviously, when other writers came in, took over the show, like, David Silverman as the director, and Al Jean and Mike Reiss as the writers, they are kind of more into like goofy, kind of dark, or wishy humor. Conan O'Brien as well, of course. So then it became kind of like more what you see the show as now. But he's like doing like Rockabye. Marge is saying, Rockabye baby on the treetop. And we're like seeing Maggie imagining it. And she's imagining like just that actual song playing out, basically. And it is like quite dark and creepy. It's like on a tree and it's falling down. And it just makes you realize like how dark that lullaby is. Like, when the bough breaks, the cradle will rock. And she's like just plummeting to her death, basically. Yeah, that's definitely like the most like experimental, fun animation. And the last bit is just like all the kids coming into the Marge and Homer's room because they're terrified of like all the things that they told them, basically. And Marge and Homer's room is like one of the most different parts of the whole segment. The room looks nothing like the way we know it to be now. And yeah, the family come in, and it's just all them in the bed together. It's very sweet, like, final image. A nice little thing to have seen been, like, the first ever piece of Simpsons media ever. And it's also the first episode of the Tracy Ullman show. So, like, it dates way back. I got the year here. So it was April 19th, 1987 when this came out. So that's 2.5 years before the show came out. So, you know, long, long time, yeah. So this will be a fun thing to cover. I'm sure people know the Good Night segment well, but, like, when I get into, like, kind of more obscure ones, it'll be fun to dissect those because I haven't seen most of them, so it'll be really interesting. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, so let's jump into recommendation of the week. Yeah, if you have any newcomers to the podcast, this is a segment where we basically just recommend things not Simpsons related.
Yeah, usually it's, you know, media related, but
yeah, podcast, movie,
I might recommend
music,
a burger,
TV show. Oh, really? Yeah, okay.
I'm not recommending.
You never have, but yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, a burger.
And we always do traditional rock, paper, scissors.
Yes, and now we got in video. Hey, yeah. Rock, paper, scissors.
And
hey,
usually that happens.
Yes, right? I always win. It's the only thing in life that I win, but I'll take it. My two recommendations are actually family films because, you know, it was Christmas since we last did this podcast, so I watch a lot of like kind of family friendly media at home and stuff. And dude, I fell in love with Wonka.
Really?
I just love. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
I loved it.
I saw the opening scene and I was like, eh.
Half Full of Dreams? I think Half Full of Dreams is wonderful. The song where he's going into London.
You know, it's not my kind of thing, though.
Yeah, but I think you need it with the context of the whole movie,
I
mean, too.
I should
though.
Watch it, I agree.
Do you like the Paddington movies?
Huh?
Do you like the Paddington movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's made by Paul King. I think it has the same kind of message and energy of those movies. It's just like, people are good, and people can be wonderful and amazing, and life is a precious thing that we should cherish. It has that wonderful message to it. I ended up seeing it 3 times. That's how much it just made me happy. I just wanted to keep experiencing it. Yeah, I think the songs are wonderful. I know Timothée Chalamet seems to be a hot topic amongst people, but I personally think he's a great actor, and I think he plays the part wonderfully. I would say that the first time watching it, it took me a minute to like accept him as Willy Wonka. Not because of his performance, just because he's so iconic. He's such a well-known actor, you know. But I think he plays the part brilliantly. The movie just made me happy. The songs are fantastic. I've been listening to them on Spotify ever since. Just well-written, fun songs. The ensemble throughout is brilliant. Keegan-Michael Key is great. Matt Lucas. I can't remember his name now, but Johnson from Peep Show is the main villain in it. He is fantastic. He's just like chewing up the scenery.
He's really got quite big, hasn't he?
I haven't seen him anything else other than Peep Show. So good for him, because he's a fantastic actor. I love him in Peep Show. So it's great to see him as the main villain in like a gigantic, like a Willy Wonka, a Roald Dahl movie. And he's perfect as just like a children's movie villain, because he's just like so OTT. Plays that part perfectly, yeah. And Hugh Grant as the Oompa Loompa is obviously a highlight. I absolutely love Hugh Grant so much. And it's something you would never think of. Like how did Paul King even come up with the idea of having him be an Oompa Loompa? Yeah. But it's just perfect. Yeah, it's such a fun, wonderful movie. Made me happy. It was my favorite movie of 2023.
Wow. That says a lot.
Yeah, look, I could obviously look at movies like Bo Was Afraid, I loved Killers of the Flower Moon. I could look at movies like that and I could dissect it and be like, oh, technically speaking, they're better movies. But just in terms of like, it made me feel good, my enjoyment, wanting to watch it again. Wonka was my favorite film of the year. Yeah, just a fun, wonderful movie. Yeah, highly, highly recommend it to anyone who hasn't seen it yet. I'm sure a lot of people have, because it is like one of the biggest movies of the year, financially speaking. But yeah, well worth the watch.
It's I need to watch it for sure.
Yeah, it's absolutely worth the watch.
It sounds like you love it because, you know, just personally you love it
personally
of, appreciating it for the art.
I'm not dissecting it in like a Mark Kermode way. It's like, it just made me happy.
That's nice,
you know, just as simple as that. It just made me feel good. You know. Yeah, what's your first recommendation?
So I went for a YouTube channel called Magnates Media, MAGNATES Media.
Okay, I've not heard of it.
So this channel is basically makes sort of mini documentaries. Some are 20 minutes, but they go up to an hour.
Okay.
About business, marketing, and money.
Oh wow, sort I didn't expect related this.
Related documentaries, but they're really fun. So like, for example, the first video that comes up here, Papa John's Scandals, Betrayals, and Dumpster Diving.
Okay.
You know, it's a very
title. Gets into the homophobia. Not the homophobia, I was like, didn't like the head of the company said the N-word.
Yeah, something like that.
Like a press conference, yeah.
And I watched one the other day about the rise of Starbucks. And interesting. Like, it's just, you know, here we go, the untold truth of Burger King. It's also like very interesting little
titles. I'd be interested in that,
I'd recommend them. I got my friend, shout out to Cedri, but he recommended this channel to me and I've just been hooked.
Fascinating.
Like, videos, they're so interesting.
Cool.
And like, it's mad how just one person making videos. Here we go.
One guy, wow.
Rockefeller, the world's first billionaire. You know?
Nice. I assume really the head of the Rockefeller Center, the guy who found that. Yeah. Okay.
So, really cool stuff.
Sounds like my cup of tea, definitely. Yeah. I actually watched like Last Week Tonight, you know, John Oliver. He did like a dissection, it was probably like a year ago now, of Subway. So probably similar to this guy's videos, and just like showed like how corrupt Subway is, and how there's so many Subways in the world because it's so cheap to make one, stuff like that.
To own the franchise is so cheap, so like, you just open them up.
Oh, like 4 figures cheaper than like a McDonald's or a Burger King, whatever, because all you need is like a heater. It's like the only thing you need, because everything else is just like the raw food.
It was for its time an amazing business model.
Oh yeah, it still is. They still make big money. It's one of the biggest franchises in the world.
They are starting to go down.
Oh, are they really? Okay, right. But yeah, John Oliver, a great dissection of. Just look up John Oliver Subway, great video. But yeah, probably pretty similar to what you're talking about there. Like getting into the history of the company and stuff like that. And yeah, like founded in the 40s and everything. So just like a stall called Subway that made sandwiches just turned into this, this huge industry. Have you seen The Founder, the Michael Keaton movie?
No, I really want to.
Highly recommend it. It's on Netflix. Yeah, I watched it recently. The history of McDonald's, also really interesting. Makes you feel bad.
Because this guy, Magnates Media, he puts together his videos through, like, stock footage. So some stuff's from movies. In the Starbucks video, he used a lot of footage from The Founder.
Right.
And he said, he made a reference to, in The Founder, at one point he says to him, you're not in the fast food business anymore, you're in the real estate market.
Yes.
Right.
That's exactly what that's the Ray same Kroc with did.
Starbucks.
Right. Starbucks they bought land.
Is when they open up a shop,
yeah.
It's not like they're just opening up a shop. They are now making the area more expensive.
Yes.
They're making it more desirable.
Uh-huh.
And they did a research, and I think it's about 80%, but anywhere in America where there is a Starbucks, the housing around it costs 80% more.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So
it's crazy. You know, yeah.
And they have a whole team researching where to open Starbucks.
Mm.
It's madness.
It's crazy. It's like you make more just buying the land, the area of the property than you do like making the franchise and selling the stock, you know. It's corrupt and crazy how they do it, but it's how they became millionaires and billionaires, so who am I to question them? Yeah. Cool. Yeah, my second recommendation, as I mentioned, another family film. It's actually a Christmas movie. Which I think you could actually watch, but it's not Christmas. It kind of has that quality to it. It came out last year. I didn't get around to watching it. I watched it on Christmas Eve, and it was a great Christmas Eve movie. Spirited.
Nice.
Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell.
Okay.
Really, really fun movie. I saw the trailer for it, and it looked just like, you know, another updated version of Christmas Carol. So I didn't really feel like inspired to like rush into it, but I watched it Christmas. It is a very refreshing take on the basic concept of A Christmas Carol. So like Will Ferrell plays that's rhyme there. Will Ferrell plays the ghost of Christmas Present, and it's like they're running like a big company where they play all these ghosts that are trying to make people good, like Scrooge. Yeah, and Ryan Reynolds is like the Scrooge's movie, and basically he just like can't get him to see the angle of like being a good person and trying to change, is because he's just so corrupt in his head. And it really does update in a very unique way, and it also has amazing songs by Pasek and Paul, who did like La La Land, Greatest Showman, Dear Evan Hansen. Like, they're amazing music writers, great songs in it. Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds are genuinely good singers, especially Will Ferrell. I think it has a really great voice, especially Will Ferrell. Yeah, I've heard him singing before, and like he's done like bits on Conan before where he sings and everything. I've always thought he actually had a really good voice, so it was cool to see it being utilized properly in a movie. Yeah, a very genuinely unique take on A Christmas Carol. It's not that Christmassy that I actually think you could watch it at any time in the year.
That's good.
But I especially would obviously recommend watching it at Christmas time.
Because that got me thinking. I think Ricky Gervais said this on one of his podcasts ages ago. But
yeah.
A Christmas Carol is genuinely one of the best stories of all time. It's one of the most important stories of all time.
Yeah.
Like, it's a Christmas story, but it genuinely, like, is one of the most original and, like, important, amazing stories there is.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, that's why it's being updated so much. I mean, it has a very simple message about just being a kind and good person, and but it does that in, like, a cool, unique way. The formula is good. And it like the way Scrooge's character arc evolves is done very well, so it makes sense why it's been updated so many times. Yeah, I totally get it. I mean, for me, the ghost. Yeah, exactly what I'm about to say. The ghost will always be Michael Caine.
Every Christmas Eve, I watch The Muppets Christmas. It's such a Christmas Eve film.
Oh, it's perfect. I mean,
it's a very
Christmas
Eve.
It's sort of warm, Christmassy feeling.
Like, yeah,
in the mood for Christmas. It's so good. Yeah, I watched an interview with Michael Caine recently where he said that like. When he talked to the director, Brian Henson, Jim Henson's son, he said, I want to play Scrooge like he's just talking to real people. I don't want to talk to them like they're puppets. And that's perfect. That's why it's so good, because he does just talk to them like they're human beings.
100%.
He doesn't address them as like being a frog or being a pig. He just talks to them like people. And that's what makes it so perfect. It's like, it's never like addressed that they're Muppets.
It's never addressed that they're different.
Yeah, exactly. It's just world. Like, he's the only human. No, he's not the only human, but yeah, it's just like, Muppets and humans are living in this world together, but it's never addressed that they're different from the humans. I think that's what makes it so wonderful, is they just happen to be these characters that
nice,
we love.
Yeah,
because if it was just a regular Christmas Carol movie with Michael Caine, it would still be good, because he's such a great Scrooge, just a classic Scrooge. It just adds that extra element that makes it so perfect that they're also the Muppets. Oh, it's just such a perfect movie. Yeah,
great film.
And that was Brian Henson's first movie after Jim Henson died, so
wow.
What a way to follow up his father's legacy. Like, it's just such, I mean, it's still his best movie, unfortunately. He's not, I don't think he'll ever top it, because it's just such a perfect film, and people watch it every year. It's such a classic. Yeah, it's so great. I guess that's a recommendation too. I mean, everyone has seen it, but it's amazing. Yeah, yeah. Do you have any other recommendation?
Yeah, I've got one more recommendation.
Nice.
An Instagram page called We Love You.
Okay.
So these guys, I came across them a few days ago.
Yeah.
And when the first video I saw of them, honestly, I wanted to cry because it was just like so beautiful and so simple. But
okay.
They basically make videos, they're out in nature.
Yeah.
So for example, like one of the videos is called Baby Mushroom, and they're like looking right. at this baby mushroom, and they're like, what should we call it? And then they start talking about how the mushrooms are like all connected and everything is connected through mushrooms. I don't know if you know the science through mushrooms.
No.
And they got one called, this is the first video I saw, which is What Are You Looking At? And they're both out in the forest. One of them's looking at this giant view, and the other one's looking at like this little rock, but with like loads of moss and algae and like a whole ecosystem, right?
Hmm.
But the other one's looking at the big view, and they're both saying the exact same thing, which is, oh my god, like it's all connected. There's so much going on, you know. And then they're like, it's so small, big, but they both say big and small at the same time. And
okay.
it's just like the message is like everything is so big and so small. It's just based on the perspective.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's, and
That's
they're just
really
they're just out in nature. It makes me want to get out into nature, man. It's
sure.
been such a long time. But
yeah.
these videos are great.
That's wonderful.
The message is always very simple, but just much needed.
Yeah, sure. So it's like, yeah, it's like inspiring messages about, but they're using real nature.
Yeah.
To convey these messages.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah,
that
sounds wonderful.
Cool.
Yeah, it sounds just like feel good content just to make you feel better, you know? And it's good to follow pages like that on Instagram because you don't, it can become just a doom scroll of a place to be
yeah,
on.
Yeah, honestly.
You know? Yeah, it's good to get some good mental health stuff in there. So yeah, I'll definitely give them a follow.
It's,
it sounds
it's
great.
It's shot so well. It's like, it looks like a movie.
Nice.
It's amazing, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Awesome. Okay, we go on with the questions?
Let's do it.
We actually have three this week, yeah. I mean, technically, two, because the first one's ridiculous. I'll do this one first. This is Mark Rufus, a great comedian friend of mine, just said, paint my fence. There's no question, Mark, so I guess it's just...
If you give me money.
Demanding. Oh, yeah, I mean, if you give us money, we will happily paint your
yeah.
fence. But, like, you know, a good fee, like... And cover the travel.
50 each, minimum.
50 each.
Yeah.
Cover the travel costs.
Free lunch.
Free lunch, yeah. Cover the travel costs. But, yeah.
That's it.
Otherwise, I'm happy to paint your fence, yeah. Let's do it. Shaking on it. We'll paint your fence, man, and we'll do a damn good job of it too. Our next question comes in from Metal Gear Millhouse, one of the most specific pages I have found on Instagram.
Sounds it.
They are Simpsons memes about Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking it was gonna be.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Hey, you find your niche and you own it, and he's done hundreds of them, so fair play. Thank you for the follow as well, and for the interesting question, a very specific one. Hopes for the show in 2024.
Huh?
Hopes for the show in 2024. I assume he means The Simpsons. Maybe he means... I assume he means The Simpsons.
Podcast. No, yeah. The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Probably, I'm just sort of hoping... I'm not hoping for a lot. I'm just hoping that they continue with this steady uprise. That
totally,
on.
Yeah.
And I hope to see more, like... more great episodes, but also more experimental episodes.
Absolutely, yeah. And a mix of both is ideal. I mean, that's what makes a great season. That's what made season 34 a great season. So I'm hoping, yeah, a mix like that. I mean, if I want to say anything specific, like hopes for the show in 2024, I would say, and maybe this is wishful, I would hope that a sequel gets for the movie officially gets announced this year. Just to throw it out into the world, that would make me very happy.
That would be great.
Because they keep teasing it. For the past 2 years, that they've been saying, like, oh, Disney really wants one. We're putting in ideas. We're discussing it. I would hope that maybe a sequel could get announced this year. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, just hope they make fun episodes. My standards for Simpsons aren't, like, high or crazy. I would just hope that they make good stuff.
Yeah.
Simple as that, really.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And third question, interesting question, is Animated Explorer. Very fun page to kind of just, like, does like these like very quick little videos about like kind of some of them are like just cartoon memes, other than like history of like animated shows. But you said favorite TV dad other than Homer, which is a fun question.
It's hard not to say Peter Griffin.
Yeah, I know, it feels cliche, but like if I had to say one, it would be Peter Griffin or Randy Marsh.
I was actually gonna say honorable mention Randy.
I love Randy Marsh so much.
Not for being a good dad, just for being
no,
a
of course.
Hilarious dad.
But he says other than Homer, so he obviously just means like a TV dad, not like actually being a good dad. Yeah, I mean, Randy is so funny, and I hear Trey Parker and Matt Stone talking about it, and they said they identify with Randy more than they do the kids. And that's why he's becoming more and more prominent in recent episodes. And it makes so much sense. And I think that's what makes him so great, is that, like, they see themselves in him. So they can really, yeah, like...
Oh, he's such a great character.
I love him so much. Yeah, wonderful character.
Any Randy episode is just going to be amazing.
There's no bad one. Yeah, very true. There's no bad Randy episode. You know you're in for a fun time when Randy is getting up to something ridiculous. Yeah. I know some people don't like the whole integrity farms thing of, like, him owning that wheat farm, and it's the recent episodes are very focused on that. Personally, as much Randy as possible for me, I don't mind it at all.
It's the same with the Simpsons. Fun. It's like, we have enough of a certain kind of
regular
episodes,
why not
switch it up?
Yeah, and do something totally out there. I don't care if they never go back to the regular house.
We got fucking 20 seasons of it.
Exactly, you know? Yeah. Stay in the weed farm. Do more stuff there. I'm totally fine with it, yeah. Yeah, if I had to pick one, it would be Peter Griffin, because, like, I grew up with Family Guy. It's that classic show for me. I would have to say Peter, but, like, yeah. Randy Marsh is up there. I love Stan Smith as well. Like, he's a different dad, because he's not, like, an idiot. Well, he's stupid sometimes, but he definitely is more intelligent than, like, Homer, Peter, or Randy would be.
Yeah.
Randy Marsh, Stan Smith, Peter Griffin. Yeah, that'd be my top three. Yeah, those are great, great TV dads. Homer is obviously always going to be the goat for me. He's my favorite fictional character of all time. But Randy, Peter, and Stan would be up there for sure. Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it up. Yeah, thank you guys for listening.
Thank
if we got any
much.
New audience from the videos, thank you for checking this out. This is a fun new thing that we've been talking about doing for a while, so it's fun to finally jump into it. And I ended up being a lot more comfortable with it immediately than
I
thought
I just
be.
Wanted to apologize for how ugly he is, because
it's
it must
the
be
Irish
difficult to watch. So
it's the Irish. Got that big
inbred
Irish Conan O'Brien face. Someone told me recently I looked like Conan O'Brien, which I didn't know how to take.
You don't.
It was I dressed as Philip J. Fry, and I had the
okay.
Yeah, someone told me I looked like Conan O'Brien. I love him so much as a guy. Wouldn't really want to look like him. I mean, strangely, I obviously sound more Irish than he does, but he looks more Irish than I do.
He does look very Irish.
He looks classically Irish, yeah. He looks like...
like very red cheeks and...
Yeah, if you ask someone to draw... what they think an Irish person looks like, they've never seen one, they would draw Conan O'Brien. You know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you all real soon.